Well, I was going to surprise you and ask you what you thought the teaching was going to be about, but Bob ruined that. So it's going to be about this. Quotation marks in the Bible, okay? It's on the sound mind, okay? You know, all three of these things, power, love, sound mind, do all believers walk with those things? No, they do not. A lot of believers don't walk with power. A lot of believers don't walk with love. A lot of believers don't walk with a sound mind. These are things that you have to put on. You have to walk with them. The sound mind in 2 Timothy 1:7, if you want to go there. I worked this verse for like a week and then finally realized that this is the theme verse. That's funny. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, this sound mind is whole thoughts. A lot of times this word in different forms is translated sober. It's sober thinking. And it's talking about controlling your thoughts. You, when you get born again, you can control what you think. You can walk with power. You can be a loving, kind, tender person, and you can control your thoughts. And it's very important in this day and time for you to teach your kids and everybody else to control what you think about. You are in control of your thoughts. It's a mind that, this is a cool definition, it's a mind that will admonish itself. And the word admonish means it's a mind that will say, don't do that. It's a mind that will say, do better. There's nothing wrong with the mind that does that. It's a mind that will say, you're okay. It's a mind that will say, remember what God's word says. It's a mind that will say, go over there. It's a mind that will warn. That's what admonish means. And it's a mind that is in control. And it's you controlling your thoughts. And it's a mind that will say, hey, do the word. Hey, you can do better. Hey, quit being so negative. Be more loving. It's that kind of a mind. And it's all about controlling what you think. It comes from two Greek words. One for whole or sound or safe, and one for mind, and that's what you think or how you feel. And it's talking about you think soundly. You think your mind is a safe place, not your enemy. You think whole thoughts. And a sound mind is a mind that is whole and in good condition. It's in good condition. It's firm. It's safe. It's stable. It's a stable mind. It's not all over the place going crazy about everything. It's set on God's word, it's firm, and it's not a crazy mind. Look at Mark 5. Speaking of a crazy mind, here's an example. Mark 5. Mark 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. So where'd this guy live? You know, like a graveyard. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. It's just a crazy guy. And when they tried to chain him, he'd break him off. He could make a lot of money these days, couldn't he? You think you're a star or something like that. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, night and day, wandering in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Does that sound like a sound mind to you? But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Now that was a guy who didn't have a sound mind. He couldn't control his thoughts. He wandered through the mountains and through the graveyard yelling and screaming. He had no control. And you can read the rest of the record sometime, but in verse 15, after Jesus Christ cast the spirits out, it says, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And that's the word for sound mind. He was in his right mind. And they were afraid. And that means that after Jesus Christ ministered to him and cast out all these devil spirits, he could think for himself. He could control his thoughts. Ever thought about what a privilege it is for you to be able to think whatever you want? You know, that you can control what you think. Nobody in this room knows what you're thinking right now, right? I can guess because someone's like this. In the back there, they're like. So I'm guessing that they hate the teaching so far. And the way my heart works, they hate me too, because they just look that way. But maybe they just have a stomach ache, you know? But you are the only one who knows what you think, right? I mean, you could try to tell your friends and neighbors and stuff, but you are the only one who knows what you think. And you have a right by freedom of will to think whatever you want. And this guy here, when he got delivered, he could control what he thought. And you can control what you think about, too. You can decide what you're going to think about. You can decide what you dwell on. You can decide all the things that you think. And that's a really cool thing. And if you're going to have a sound mind, you got to think what the Word says. You got to think what God says. And that's your privilege. Look at Mark 7. Mark 7, verse 14. Like, what are you thinking right now? Nobody knows. Like, I like pancakes. I like pancakes. I like pancakes. You might be thinking, I got to pack my stuff when I leave. What do I do with the keys? When I get home, I got to eat, make dinner for the family. You could be thinking that right now, right? And nodding. But the point is that you decide what you're going to think about. And some of the thoughts that you think will be healthy, will be good for you, will be whole, will make your mind safe. But a lot of thoughts that you can think will be unsound and make your mind a horrible place. In Mark 7, verse 14, it says, "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto you, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile him. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." I love that. Well, try to figure it out. See, that's what Nick is like. Nick Sonato says, "I'm not going to do the work for you. You figure it out." Okay. If you want to know the rest of this, figure it out yourself. But he did tell him in it. "And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said, Are you so without understanding also?" Would you like Jesus Christ to say that to you? "Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into him, it cannot defile him?" What happens on the outside, that's not what makes your life suck or ruins your life. "Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth man. For from within, out of the what? That's your thinking. Those are the things you dwell on. Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from where? Here, right? And that's so cool because you can think whatever you want. And some of the thoughts that you think can make your life really wonderful, make your life really sound. Because you can control this, and that determines what happens in your life. You can't control what happens outside of your life, but you can control what happens with you. How you think, if you have joy, if you're thankful, if you're positive, if you're negative. That's all up to you. And that's such a cool privilege that you can think whatever you want. And some thoughts that you think will make your life really wonderful. It won't make it easy, but it'll help you to conquer. It'll help you to be positive. It'll help you to have some joy. It'll help you to be thankful. It'll help you to be loving. It'll help you to walk with power, what you think. And a sound mind is a mind that controls itself. Look at Matthew 23. Isn't it cool that you can decide what to think? I wish you would think that I'm a great guy. If everybody here thinks I'm a great guy, I'll know I'm a great guy. Is that true? No. Because if everybody here tells me I'm a great guy, my heart will still tell me they don't really know you. Right? But if I think that I can walk with power, I can be a loving person, I can have a sound mind, then I am a great guy, right? But it's all what I think, what goes on inside. In Matthew 23, verse 24, the word says, or Jesus Christ was saying, "You blind guides." I still want to take like a year to read the Bible and collect all the biblical insults. Like, you don't know how to go to the city. That's the Old Testament. That means you're so stupid you can't even find town. But this is a good one, too. You blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Try that at work. Say that to your boss when you're working for the Lord. Doesn't matter what you say to the boss, right? I mean, you're working for God, so who cares about the boss? Say to your boss, you blind guide which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypnotists. No, hypocrites. Now look at this. For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter. See, that's religion. Making the outside look good. You make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Inside, you're all whacked out. You know, you go to fellowship, you smile, you hug people. And as you're hugging them, you go, this guy's a dick. So, or, I'm mad at that person from 10 years ago. That's the person that did something 10 years ago to me. Oh, hi. But what matters? What matters is where? What's on the inside? But within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is what? Within the cup. And it's not talking about a literal cup. That would be easy. It's talking about your mind, what you think. Take care of what you think. Think whole thoughts. And that changes your life. That makes your life wonderful. Not act on the outside. If you go to fellowship for a couple of months, you can figure out how to look like a good believer. You know, you stand up and pray. Please don't pray morbid prayers or teaching prayers, okay? Like, Father, I wish that all these people would just be nicer and whatever. But you could pray. You're nice to everybody. You go to fellowship a lot, smile, know who the leader is. You could figure out how to look like a good believer. But that doesn't change your life. That doesn't change it, whether you have joy or whether you have confidence or whether you walk with power or whether you really love people. It's all where? In here. And don't trick yourself into thinking that if you look like a great believer, you are. You know if you're a great believer because you believe. You have confidence. It all comes from the inside. Look at Matthew 16. You wouldn't want Jesus to say this to you either. You think that you would like Jesus Christ if he were here on earth today? Sometimes he was very blunt, wasn't he? Like this. Do you think you'd survive this confrontation right here? Or you'd be telling stories about it for the rest of your life. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised in the third day. He was telling him what the word said he was supposed to do, what God wanted him to do. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto you. So Jesus Christ said, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And Peter's going, no, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Would you survive that? Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou art an offense unto me. You're trying to trip me up. You're trying to get me to not do what God wants. And why? For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And this word savorest is think. You're always thinking about things that have to do with men. You're not thinking about the things of God. You're always thinking about the news and of Donald Trump and of the economy and new furniture and cool cars and what people have done to you or what they haven't done to you. You don't think about the things of God. And because of that, he was an evil influence, or trying to be, to Jesus Christ. You have to think about the things that be of what? God. Not the things that be of men. Not what most people think about on this earth. And when you're born again, you have the chance, you have the right to think God's word. You have the right to have the mind of Christ. You have that right. You have that opportunity. And that's what makes the difference. Look at Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Attend to what? My words. God's word. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Let them not depart. Don't think the things of men. Keep your eyes in the word, in God's word. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep them in your heart. For they are, will make you look good in fellowship, and people will think you're great. Now look at this. They are what? God's word is life. God's word gives you life. They are life unto those that find them, and what? Health. Take care of the inside, and your outsides are wonderful and great. And a controlled mind thinks God's word, and God's word gives them health and life. They are, that is, makes you whole, gives you whole thoughts, a whole life, by thinking God's word. Sometimes, not that great a person, sometimes I say horrible things, some of you know. And one time I said to my wife, we're going away for a weekend to hear a bunch of speeches on the Bible, like speech after speech on the Bible. But why do we do that? Because those speeches give us life. They give our minds, they make our minds healthy and whole. God's word does that for people's minds. It's so great to come to a place like this and be taught God's word over and over, because it's like getting shots of vitamin C or something like that, or the greatest health food in the world, the greatest mental health food, because God's word gives you mental health. And when your mind is healthy, your life follows. That's why these weekends are so cool. Look at 2 Timothy 1. How do I turn the pages with it? 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. Hold fast. Hold fast means to keep it in your mind. Hold fast the form of, and the form is pattern, which is so interesting. God's word is a pattern of thinking, a way of thinking that is wholeness, brings wholeness to your mind. And those of you who know something about how the mind works, it's, a lot of it is about patterns, the habits that you build up in there. And God's word is a pattern, a way of thinking that makes your mind whole and healthy. It makes your mind a safe place, not a scary place you never want to go. Hold fast the form of sound words that thou hast heard of me. The form of what? Sound. And that word sound means to be sound, to be well, to be in good health. God's word is words that make you, give your mind health, make you whole, make you sound, make your mind to be in good health. And that's what God's word does for people. And so a sound mind is a mind that holds God's word, that thinks God's word. It's a mind that says, it's okay to say to your mind, don't think that. It's not like, well, don't tell your mind what not to do, because that's condemning yourself, isn't it? No. You're like helping yourself live the word. Don't think that. Quit thinking that. Or think this. Don't be negative. Don't be afraid, right? That's a sound mind, a mind that will admonish itself, that will direct how to think. Here's a couple examples. Look at Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on. What's putting on? It's in your mind, right? You do this. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. You decide you're going to what? Be kind. And that starts on the inside. You're going to really want to help people. You're going to want to do good things for people. Put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also what? So, you want to have a sound mind? You got to forgive people. That's putting on God's word. What does God's word say about if people do something bad to you or something like that? What does it say to you? You want to have a sound mind? You want to have a healthy mind? You need to what? Forgive. That's putting on God's word. You need to forgive people. You forgive people, you have a sound mind. You hold a grudge, is that a sound mind? It's not, it's a crazy mind, isn't it? You ever want to go there? It's like going to a torture room or something like that. Every time you think this person is there, or this thing, or this dinosaur that attacked you, or something like that. A sound mind is a mind that, guess what? forgives. An unsound mind is a mind that holds a grudge. Look at Matthew 6. I'm sorry, Matthew 18. See, that's how God's word works. If someone sins against you or really hurts you, or you have a grudge against somebody, and maybe it's rightfully so, what does God's word say to do? Forgive. And where does that happen? You know, it's like I said, you can hug, oh, hi, haven't seen you for 10 years. And 10 years ago, you really blah, blah. That's not a sound mind. And that's not a pleasant place to be, not a pleasant way to think. It's not healthy. It's not whole. It's like, hey, there's nothing between you and me. I mean, I forgave you years ago. I don't even think about it anymore, like that. In Matthew 18, verse 21, Jesus Christ, oh, Peter. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? Sounds reasonable to me. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And he just means over and over again. Like, looking around this room, do you see anybody in here that you might never see again? Do you? Or may, okay, that you only see like once a year. Do you see anyone that you might see once a year? They're easy to forgive, aren't they? Do you see anybody that you're going to see every day? Those are the people you got to forgive. Because what he's saying, the truth is that if you're going to be around a human, they're going to hurt you. I mean, just knowing someone, if you think sound thoughts, you're going to have to assume you're going to have to forgive them. And what? Over and over and over again. That's a part of being a human and having people around you. Just, you're going to have to forgive people over and over and over and over. Is Ryan going to go out there and yell at that blower? You're going to have to forgive that blower. Okay, do you want to be around humans?
Yes.
All right, I'm telling you, I'm just warning you, they're going to hurt you. You're going to have to forgive them over and over and over and over because they're about as strong as you. They're weak. And a sound mind forgives people. How many times? I have a list. Some people are right up there. They're close. I'm almost to the point with some people when I don't have to forgive them anymore. Because how much is that 70 times 7? How much? Oh, some people are so close. Look at Ephesians 4. You know how unhealthy it is to hold a grudge? It's like having a wound, an open wound in your mind, like something that's bleeding with no Band-Aid on it, to hold a grudge. And it's not sound. And that's just an example of thinking God's word is what keeps your mind sound from the inside. And you have plenty of chances to hold grudges, don't you? I know I do. People just don't get me. Ephesians 4, especially my... Never mind. Ephesians 4. Like the people that are closest to me, they don't get me at all. No. Ephesians 4, 26. Be you angry and stay angry because it's okay because that person was wrong. What's it say? Sin not let. And that's don't stay angry. An angry mind is, guess what? Unsound. It's like an open wound that you don't get taken care of. So, don't stay angry. Don't hold a grudge. That's sound thinking. That keeps your mind healthy. That makes your mind a nice place to go. You don't want to go into your mind and just be mad about stuff and thinking about people, what they did to you and stuff like that. You can't be around people and not have them hurt you. You can't be in this life and not have things be unfair and unjust. But to have to think about it over and again, that's not healthy. It's not a nice place to be. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be written in your diary and read them over and over and over. Do you think God knows that in this life you have a great opportunity to be bitter? It's hard, right? And people are weak. People are crazy. Do you think you have a great opportunity to, like, wrath is like the fermenting of the mind. It's like bubbling until it just blows out, right? Just think about something that really makes you angry and makes you upset until it usually comes out in something else. Like you're mad about what someone did 10 years ago or 5 years ago, and you'll yell at your wife for not putting the iron in the right place. Just, and then like the other one, anger is the desire for revenge. How can I get back? That kind of thinking, that's unsound. That makes an unsound mind. 32, and be you what?
Kind.
How about this one? Tender-hearted. Let people in there. There's no fear in love. There's no fear of loss. There's no fear of, you know, being hurt. If you really love somebody, if you want to really enjoy people, just love them unconditionally, like Liz taught. That's how to enjoy people. Just love them, whether they do what you want or not. The love of God isn't you do what I want. That person has the love of God. They were nice to me. And be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, and what? Forgiving. Forgiving one another. Look at, go back to Colossians 3. I'm just showing you some examples of how to have a sound mind. And I'm telling you, that's a huge one. Forgive people. Let it go. 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 Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on what?
Charity.
And like Liz says, you decide to be a loving person. You decide you have affection for people, that they're important to you, that their lives are important to you, and that you'll go way out of your way. You'll sacrifice to help them. That's your decision. And that's the greatest way to enjoy people, is to love them unconditionally. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let rule is to be an umpire. Isn't that cool? What does an umpire do? It's to decide, to determine, to direct, to control, to rule. Let the peace of God rule your hearts. That's like, don't think that. You're out. That's what an umpire does. Like, you're out. Oh, man, I got to go to work tomorrow, and I got to do this. You're out. I'm going to be peaceful. How do you be peaceful? Control your thinking, right? Next Wednesday, I have to go to a dog show, and I'm afraid that, get out. You're out. God will be there with me, right? And you have to have a mind that admonishes itself. Don't think that, right? Right? 10 years ago, my brother looked at me funny. Don't think that. There could be a nuclear. Don't think that. You're out. Right? And your mind, let the peace of God rule. How do you ever be peaceful if you let every thought that comes through your mind, if you just dwell on it, right? NPR, get out. There was a family in Mexico that had three. No. Matthew 6. Look at Matthew 6. You understand what I mean, though? Like, why let, if things kill your peace, get them out of your mind. Quit. So stupid, but quit. I wrote down this brilliant thing. Where is it? It's incredible. Where is it? Get out! Oh, wait a minute. It's so great. It's, you know how the word says dark sayings? Like the Proverbs is a dark saying, and it's really deep. You think the way you think because of how you think. That's a dark saying, isn't it? Do you know why you think the way you think? It's because of what you think. Right? If you're unpeaceful, why is that? It's because of what you think. If you're unloving, yeah, right? And here's another one. You are thankful when you what? are thankful. It's hard, isn't it? But that's a sound mind. You want to be thankful? Okay, be thankful. Think it, right? Thanks, Christina. She's the best person to have up front. She's like... I was in North Dakota for 3 years teaching the word, and that was a horrible place to teach the word. Because everybody, not everybody, all three people, they would sit like this in every teaching. And then if it was a great teaching, they go, "That blessed me." So I learned not to ever look at anybody. But in Matthew 6, this is much better. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, quit worrying about your life. You know why you're worried? Because you worry. So simple. Why are you anxious? Because you're anxious. And people just get used to a little bit of anxiety, don't they? Yeah. But you know what it's like? It's like having a thorn in your foot, but it's like having a thorn in your mind. It's always there. That little bit of pain, that little bit of irritation. Therefore I say unto you, verse 25, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. You hear that, girls? Quit thinking about anthropology all the time. Think about Kmart. Think about Walmart. And, girls and well-dressing guys, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Now look at this. But then he says, why you worry about this stuff? Behold the fowls of the air. There's the umpire. Quit worrying. Think about how God takes care of stuff. That's in. You're out, you're in. Think about how God takes care of stuff. Quit worrying. Think about how God takes care of everything. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Think about how God takes care of even birds. That thought in, that thought out. Which of you by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? Does worrying help anything? But you got to have a mind that admonishes itself. Quit worrying. You got to do that yourself. I can't get in your mind. I can't make you quit worrying, can I? You know, I can't make you quit worrying. You know, you can go to the, sit through, we got, everything's great, the weekend like this, but only you can quit worrying. Only you can think about how God takes care of everything. Like, what are you anxious about? Will God take care of it? Well, tell your mind that. Will God take care of it? Can God do amazing things for people? Can't he do unbelievable things, miraculous things, things that you couldn't imagine? Can't he? Oh, I just changed my mind. Right? But you got to do that for yourself, to have a whole thought, to have a sound mind. Which of you by thinking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why worry or be anxious about raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Think about how wonderful flowers are, you know? Just how cool everything is. And God designed all this stuff. He planned for all this stuff. It all still works. God's the great designer. God keeps everything going. Everything God set in motion still works. He takes care of everything. Won't he take care of you? Whatever it is that is a thorn, irritate, won't he take care of you? Have your mind tell you that. That's a sound mind. Don't worry. God takes care of everything. God has this. You have the right to think that your needs will always be met for the rest of your life, don't you? Because God promised that, right? Why not think that? I don't know. Whatever happens, my needs will always be met. Won't they? No matter what happens, will God always be with you? He'll be right there with you to handle anything. Does he have a big wallet? Does he have a big club? Like a bonker? Is he strong? Can he kick some butt? And he'll always be there with you. But a sound mind is someone that, a mind that corrects itself and stops itself from worrying, stops itself from, you know, holding a grudge against people, a mind that admonishes itself. Back to Colossians 3. You get the point, right? And it's not that hard. It's like you say, think the word, and you go, what, think 10,000 sentences or something like that? Think about all the names in the Bible or something? No, like the stuff I'm sharing with you, it's not that complicated. Forgive people. Quit worrying. Think about how God will take care of stuff. It's not that complicated. I mean, it's for simple people. God's word is for simple people. In Colossians 3, verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Don't let anything ruin your peace. You know, don't have those conflicts, that lack of peace. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye what?
Thankful.
And be ye means become thankful. How do you become thankful? It's easy. What are you thankful for? Are you thankful for the people you love? Think about that. Are you thankful for your job? That you have food? You decide what to think about. And many, many times God says in the epistles, hey, be thankful. And how do you become thankful? I told you, you are thankful when you are thankful. Think about what you're thankful for. Why think about what you're not thankful for? You can think about what you're not thankful for, but that's unsound. It's not healthy. Think about what you're thankful for. Philippians 2, that's a whole mind. A sound mind. Because we have God's Spirit, and because we have God's Word, we can have a sound mind. You have the chance to have a sound mind. You have the right to a sound mind. You have the right to walk with power. You have the right to love people with the love of God. Can't say that about everybody. Let's think about the people who were mean to us. Who's the last person that was mean to you? It was Maisie. No. I'm just kidding. She wasn't mean to me. Who was? I can't think of anybody. Oh, the security guy at the Newark airport. He goes up. You got to take all electronic stuff, devices, out of your backpack. I go, unless anything bigger than an iPhone, out of your backpack. And it used to be you could leave your iPad in your backpack. So I go, what about my iPad? Is it bigger than your iPhone? That was the last guy. So what if I think about that the whole flight? That Irish dick. He was a big, like, meaty face Irish guy. Is an iPad bigger than an iPhone? Man, why is that guy so mean to me? It's a reasonable question. It used to be you could leave your iPad in. I wasn't sure. I didn't know. And why would he talk to me that way? Well, if I kept thinking about that, what kind of mind would I have? Yeah, that's right. What did I say, Philippians 2? All right, we're almost done. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. This is another cool word about how to think. Esteem means to lead before the mind, to rule or command. And it's translated many times as governor, like Joseph was made governor of Egypt. You're supposed to govern your mind. You lead your mind. That's the concept, right? You lead your mind. You don't let the world lead your mind. You let God's word lead your mind. And it's your choice. You know, your mind isn't like some finely tuned machine that works on its own. It's more like a boat floating. And you decide what fills it, right? Or you decide the direction it goes. And if you don't decide, guess where it goes? It goes to that place where, in Pinocchio, where the kids get turned into donkeys. Yeah. Some people know about that. And some people should watch Pinocchio. Hebrews 11. I mean, your mind is like a boat, and if you don't do anything with it, guess where it goes? Mm-hmm. Before you know it, you're a donkey. Hebrews 11. This word for to lead your mind or to be a governor of your mind is in Hebrews 11, verse 11. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. You know, Sarah had to believe also to have Isaac, not just Abraham. And she is, I think, one of the two women listed in Hebrews 11, the Believer Hall of Fame. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And here it's the word judged. She led before her mind that God was faithful. That's what you do to believe. Or that's one of the ways. I don't know. But you lead your mind. You tell your mind, God is faithful. If God promised it, what? It'll come to pass. A mind that believes that God will do what he says, that's a sound mind, right? And you lead your mind. She led her mind. She said, if God says it, it settles it. That's right. And that all happens, guess where? And you can look really great as a believer and attend every meeting and whatever. Be a part of the right group, whichever group that is. I think it's the Shriners myself, but you know, pick the right person, pick the right leader, pick this, pick that. But it's really what? Yeah, that's what makes the difference, what's on the inside. Luke 10. So you get the point? You know, picking the right leader, does that make you have a sound mind?
No.
No. Picking the right group, does that make you have a sound mind? Does that give you a relationship with God? No. And you know, if you're alone, can you have a sound mind? Can you walk with God? Can you see the power of God? Can you? Yeah. Because you and God make a majority. You and God makes you more than a conqueror. In Luke 10, verse 38, it says, and it came, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So what was Mary doing? You know this record. Well, not most people know this record. Well, the what Mary, she sat at Jesus' feet and what? Listening to the word. Listening to the word. But Martha was cumbered about what? About much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, this isn't fair. It's not fair. Nothing's fair. Was that sound thinking? You know, nothing is fair. But God is fair, right? God is always good. God is always kind. God makes things right. God will make things right. But this life isn't fair. I should be tall. I should have hair. Talk about fair. I should have hair. I shouldn't get old. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? Aren't you watching this that it's not fair? Dost thou not care that this is not fair? You ever that way with God? Don't you care that person? Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and your mind is all in a commotion about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And what was needful? What was she doing? And that's what you're doing here. And this should really help. You know, to sit and listen, you know, listen to God's word should really help you to have a sound mind and sound thinking. And a sound mind is a mind that controls itself, that governs itself. And we have the right, we have the chance to have sound minds because we have God's spirit and we have God's word. All right?